Sidney Crosby, Master Baker, by Miss Molly Etc., read by Marianas. Basically, in a world where Sidney Crosby was not specially ordered by Gary Bettman from an artisan robot company in Nova Scotia, Sidney came to Pittsburgh not so much on the trail of his father's killers, but for reasons that don't require exploration at this juncture, remained attached as head baker to the Dapper Penguin Bakery. He lives in the small apartment above the bakery so that he can come down at 4 a.m. every day to proof the dough for the breads and set out the special orders on his special orders board and get the oven started. If he's very good, and Sidney always is, then Sidney is so busy that he'll see only 3 to 4 people in the entire course of his working day. Colby, who delivers the fresh fruit every other morning, Max, who runs the coffee machine and thinks creme fraiche is a sexual position, Flurry, who mans the cash register and keeps all the customers and food critics away, and Dan, of course, who owns the bakery and sometimes stops in to go over Sydney's ingredients budget. It's a pretty good system, actually. Sidney likes the well-oiled routine of the bakery, layered on top of the precision required of baking. He can stalk the Yelp reviews and put the Dapper Penguin on Google Alert, and he knows the bakery's popular just from the sheer volume of currant and blackberry tarts he makes, and it's all at a distance, it's all manageable. The guys up front are enough human interaction for Sidney, and they've learned never to jostle his elbows when he's adding the star anise to the almond cookies after that one time. Colby's funny, and Flurry plays the same video game Sid likes, and Max is... Max makes good coffee and does a lot of things Sidney doesn't understand, but that Flurry seems to appreciate. Into every Sidney Crosby's life, however, little Gino Malkin must fall, and this particular Gino Malkin has just arrived in Pittsburgh, sent by his parents on a 3-month summer English language immersion program. The bakery, as it happens, is located precisely in between Gino's dorm and the building where the program holds classes. Every morning, Gino stops in for a coffee to go and a rugelach for breakfast. Now, okay, I'm not certain if you know what this is, but basically it's like, okay, picture a typical American cinnamon roll. It's got that big, tender, toothsome, coiled roll of bread, heavy with butter or oil, so it's not flaky like phyllo dough, but like a stronger, softer pie crust. There's the furry spiced rub of cinnamon and the burnt tang of sugar, sweet and tight on the roof of your mouth. And layered above that is the thick, gooey, vanilla-scented buttercream frosting. A rugelach is like the innermost knot of a cinnamon roll, only without the frosting, and I've seen all kinds. You can have nuts, like walnuts or almonds, or almond paste, or fruit, like apples or currants, or anything. So every day, Gino gets coffee and a few rugelach. I had to look up how to pronounce that. And as Gino's English gets a little better, he starts talking to Flurry and Max. They'll bond over learning to live and speak in a second language, and Gino starts bringing his homework over while the bakery's open as well. He learns pretty quickly that he should never believe Max's helpful suggestions, but it's a better atmosphere for studying than the dorm, with the crazy people he lives with, and that Alex who keeps trying to catch him without a towel. Besides, the bakery smells amazing, even with all the foot traffic. He spreads his books and his notebook on a table near the counter, so he gets first dibs on any plate or samples, and settles on in. Now, Sidney's always known that the bakery has regulars. Any profitable business does. But he's never actually had to talk to them beyond "what do you want this cake to say" once or twice. There's something new, though, because the rugelach have been moving a lot more than last month. He'd known cardamom steeped in milk would do the trick. Maybe a full chai next? And a few times later, toward closing, Flurry has actually made Sid come out and ring up a sale, which he promised to stop doing. When he goes up there, however, to ring up some lady and her kids' mocha brownie in raspberry and lime pavlova, a tart made out of a sugary meringue instead of crust, Flurry's actually sitting across from a customer, leaning over a book. "Is this going to be a thing?" he asks Max, who's dropping off a double-shot cafe macchiato, done the proper way because Max is surprisingly snobby about stuff he buys for $7 for £5 at Costco. Max laughs, which he always does when Sid says something perfectly normal, which makes Flurry and his friend look up from their book. The guy is eating one of Sidney's tea cakes, licking powdered sugar from his long fingers. The guy waves, and Flurry makes a face at Sidney. "Sidney, you've got stuff," he says, scrubbing at his forehead. "Is that icing?" Sidney blinks. He rubs his forehead, and something flakes off his fingers. "Yeah," he says. "I thought we could put profiteroles on the special tomorrow, so I'm test-batching some." "Do we get to try it?" Flurry asks. "Only if you come off break," Sidney says, and squirts a little hand sanitizer out of the pump bottle by the register into his hands. He rubs his palms together and in between the spaces of his fingers. Fleur laughs and stands up. Sorry, Gina, he says, but Sid's getting freaky with pastry and I haven't eaten dinner. The guy, Gino, he guesses, nods and looks at him, looks at Sid. Sid blinks. You make this? Gino asks, holding up the tray of samples before Flurry takes it off him. You make all? Sid blinks again. Yes, he says, already looking back towards his ovens. I'm the baker. It's good, Gino says, and he smiles. And he smiles. I like much. Every day I eat for breakfast. He's still smiling. It's like home. Thank you, Sid says, vaguely hearing Max throw something at Flurry behind him. Are you staying? Gino nods. Have homework, he says. I am to study. What kind are you making? Flurry asks. Sid feels his head twitch in Flurry's direction. What? Oh, strawberry cream, plain with red currant jam, and maple syrup buttercream, he says. Gino can have some too. Because cooking is a comfort, is an attempt at connection, at providing for someone, even when you can't be there yourself. Baking something is as much about entertaining a crowd as scoring a goal in a 1,000-seat stadium full of adoring fans, and no matter how many Yelp reviews there are, this is the first time in longer than Sid can remember that a person, an actual, smiling, broad-shouldered person, said his food was like home. And thus begins Sidney's descent into Russian cookery. Suddenly, in addition to making cream horns and brownies and blondies and fruit tarts and scones, now there are sugary tea cakes as a regular menu item rather than a special. Flaky, lemony-scented poppy seed rolls appear next to the ham and Gruyere hand pies at lunch. Rich, earthy, dark rye breads and delicate fried syrniki, fritters topped with fresh applesauce and sour cream, served up because Sid had leftover dough at the end of the night. And Gino starts to learn English because now Sid has questions. He's part of the testing panel, and while he might have trouble with conjugations, he can tell Sid if his palmier has just the right amount of crumbly, sugared bite to it. Then, as Sid's getting better at talking, after Gino's stayed later and later at the bakery, in the back by the table where Sid kneads French bread and mixes the batter for his creme brulee Napoleons that are actually 1,000 sheets of delicate crepes, one morning Gino leans over, just as Sid set aside the blowtorch, and kisses him carefully on the mouth, leaning back and crossing his arms while Sid thinks it over. Sid looks down at his hands and licks his lips. He glances up at Gino, who has a flowery handprint on his chest in the shape of Sid's fingers. Sid steps in between Gino's knees and holds still as Gino's hands come up to grip his waist, fingers curling into his apron ties. "But you're going," Sid says quietly. Gino shrugs. "I stay," he says. "Have scholarship." Sid smiles. And so, Gino stays in America, studying physical education at the University of Pittsburgh, and eventually moves into the apartment above the Dapper Penguin Bakery with Sidney, and they have all the sex in the world, only never in the kitchen, because that's gross. Flurry and Max put on several pounds due to Sidney Crosby's baking, but burn it all off again through the sheer energy put out by their unresolved sexual tension, and Dan, the bakery owner, is very happy about the new Russian food market Sidney's experimentation with a real life with a domesticated live boy has brought them into. In short, Sidney Crosby, master baker, lives happily ever after. The end.